with me in your Bibles to Romans 13. Romans chapter 13. We also want to remember to pray for the Spanish congregation. They're meeting down the end of the hall tonight. They normally meet in the gym, but we use the gym on Wednesday night with the kids program. So we have a large classroom down there they can use on Wednesday night. And we're glad to see them here. Romans 13, we'll pick up with verse number 11. That knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We see it as a time to awake out of lethargy. This goes along great with thinking about a revival coming up, a time we can easily lose focus of our walk with the Lord after we've been saved for many years. We go to church, it becomes a routine, and if we aren't careful, we can have sleepy eyes toward the things of God. Many people will tell us they don't have time to do more for the Lord. Or they'll say, I used to do that. I used to go to church. I used to, do this, do that in the church. Or they might say, I've never done anything like that before, so I don't know how to do that. It doesn't take much to speak up for the Lord, to be a witness for Him. It takes knowing the Lord in your heart. And if you know the Lord, you can tell somebody how good God is and be a witness to them. Time to awake out of lethargy. We saw in verse 10, the love works no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And because we are to love our neighbor as ourself, we know the time and the age in which we live. We see the end is coming when God will bring about his plan for the end times. And so it's important that we add a fervor to our witness because our time is limited. Our time's limited because of our ages. We're getting longer in the tooth, and we don't have that many years left to do the witnessing and the teaching and the going to do things for the Lord. And we do not know when the Lord is coming to take the church to heaven to be with Him forevermore. It could be at any time. And so as we think on that, it should motivate us to be a witness now. And for those that we do have love for, our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers and our cousins and aunts and uncles and all those kind of people, we should make sure that we are being a witness to them if they don't know the Lord as their Savior. So this is a time for us to renew our testimony, renew our witness, to reestablish our walk with God. Now, what talks about salvation in verse 11, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Well, our salvation is present with us now, but it's referring to the completion of our salvation when we go to heaven to be with the Lord and we get a new body, and that is the completion of salvation. And that is nearer to us now than when we first believed. It's time for us to awaken out of any sleepiness. And we should allow love to be the great motivation to us to be a help. Let's look at a couple of verses. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And really verse 1 through 15 deals with a similar passage here about this subject. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate. Oh, I'm in 1 John. Excuse me. I got paper clips here for this, and I got the wrong paper clip. Titus 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. Older men, we need to renew our strength. We need to be sure that we are believers of sound doctrine. The aged men to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So the emphasis of being prepared and looking for the Lord to come. And he deals with every age group and every aspect of the men and the women. And we see the love that we're to have for our neighbor, and therefore we should be a witness to them and try to help them come to know the Lord as well. It's time to awaken out of sleep. And if our love is there, we should give the gospel and urge people to be faithful in church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 through 25. Hebrews 10 and beginning with verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So being prepared, looking for the Lord, making sure we don't know how much time we have. I wrote in here, every true student of the Word of God should be observant of the coming of the Lord. In 1 John 3:3, it says, if we have this view in us, then we will purify ourselves even as he is pure. So this revival is a part of that upcoming, to draw close to God, to purify our hearts, to cleanse our hands, and become a witness for Christ and tell people to be saved before it is too late. We can tell them about the Lord. And on D in your outline, now is our salvation near, refers to the completed salvation with the Lord. Salvation is spoken of in three tenses. We were saved in the past. My wife and I got saved on September the 14th, 1975. That was in the past when we got saved. Secondly, we're saved now in the present. We're not kept because we've worked for it or earned it. We're kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In our case, 48 years ago, we were saved, and we're still saved because God has kept us. Then we're going to be saved in the future when the Lord calls us to heaven to be with him and changes our bodies into glorified bodies. And he will reward us for our faithfulness in serving him upon the earth. And that is the ultimate of our salvation, the completion of our salvation. We're redeemed now by knowing the Lord Jesus as Savior, but our bodies have not been redeemed. We still live in a body of flesh that battles sin. But when we get to heaven, we're going to get a new body that'll be like His body. And thanks be unto God, we never have to worry about sinning against the Lord anymore. Israel's rebirth back in 1948 was an indicator of God's timing. God has gathered Israel back as a nation, and they continue yearly to grow in population with more and more people. We also see the indicator of Russia and China becoming world powers, having peace talks between them, war going on by Russia, spreading themselves out like a green bay tree. These are all characteristics of the last days, and this is sort of like the beginning of the wind blowing through the mulberry trees of seeing what's going to happen when the great storm comes. The moral decay of the professing church in the age in which we live is an indicator of the last days. So we are to watch, for we know not the day nor the hour of the coming of the Son of Man. In Matthew 24, 42 through 44, he reminds them, they don't know the day nor the hour. We don't know the day or the hour of the rapture when the Lord will call us to heaven. And the world won't know the day and the hour of His second coming when He returns to the earth and fights the battle of Armageddon. It will come upon them as a thief in the night. The Lord calls us as reward to be carried up to heaven to receive a new body. But then as the tribulation on the earth takes place and the judgment of God comes in the last 3.5 years of the great tribulation and the wrath of God poured out, then they will stop looking for the Lord's coming, and it will take them by surprise when the Lord returns. So the scripture teaches us, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Most of you are familiar with Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 through 18, where the scripture says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We are in a battle against a wily foe. He has been waging war against the Lord's people since the beginning of time. He has learned a lot. He's a very smart foe. Verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, our battle is not with people. Our battle is with principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then Paul said, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So this is the spiritual warfare that we are in. I think about the ancient warriors who carried shields and swords, and they had some types of armor upon their vulnerable parts, their breastplate and their loins. And I think about in Vietnam when I was there as a Marine, the type helmets we had, the flak vests that we wore, the boots that had steel plates in them and were canvas so they could drain out real quickly because you're in water an awful lot. And we carried a machine gun, an automatic weapon. In our case, we went there with M14s, but we were issued M16s when we got to Vietnam. And I carried 1,000 rounds of ammunition and 20 magazines loaded, ready to go. And that was a warfare that we were in. And we had the equipment to help us and to protect us. And we're in a spiritual warfare with Satan and all the influence that he has in the higher places, in the realms of darkness. This world is filled with darkness. And many people are delighted to be in the darkness because there's certain power and there's certain pleasure in sinful things. God expects us to be morally honest, integrity people with a testimony that is above reproach. The daylight exposes our behavior as Christians. We're not to be guilty of riotous living or drunkenness or sexual sins, chambering and wantonness, not in strife with others, in envy of others' goods. If any of these things have crept back into our life or are even beginning to creep back into our life with our own natural desires for things, then God help us to draw close to Him again and lay those things at the foot of the cross and be filled with the Spirit and get our focus on the spiritual and not on the things of this world. The revival sentiments are urgent in light of the imminent return of Christ. Imminent meaning He could come at any time. We ought to be very aware of what is prohibited to us as Christians, what we should not do, and the provisions that are granted for us by God's grace that we might have what we need to serve the Lord. Sinful lusts and desires are to be denied by us. We're to allow the Holy Spirit to bring Scripture to bear upon our lives. When we get close to the Lord and get filled with the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit simply means to be controlled by the Spirit. And when our eyes are controlled by the Holy Spirit and our mind is controlled by the Holy Spirit and our heart and our will are controlled by the Holy Spirit, then we will be walking with the Lord and speaking up for God and doing the things that God would have us to do. And when you're busy doing that, there's a divine protection that God will hedge you about, because when you're serving the Lord, He wants to keep you around. Not just everybody serves the Lord. We are fruit-bearing trees for God. And if we're bearing much fruit, the Lord will protect us in troublesome times. Secondly, in your back of your outline is love's merciful conduct, how love results in merciful conduct. It goes into chapter 14 in the book of Romans. Get back there myself. We're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't allow yourself time for lustful things. Don't plan for that in your life. Put those things out of your life. Then in chapter 14, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. So we're dealing with some Jewish customs and Jewish manner of living that Paul is writing to Rome in the church, that they have Jew and Gentile here who have completely different eating habits and upbringings. The acceptance of weaker believers referring to those who are weak in the faith, who have not been saved for very long. In our case, there's people that's been saved for many years, but they have never been in a good, strong, Bible-believing church like this one and many others. And they have not grown in the faith to be aware of these things. They're just doing the church thing, you know, 1 hour on Sunday, and that's all they do, and they haven't grown very much in that case, so they're a weaker believer. But some have been recently saved, and they're a spiritual babe in Christ. They're not expected to know everything and be able to do everything. They're just learning, and it takes time for them to grow in their walk with God. Maybe some have either been saved or not yet been saved, and they've been taught wrongly by listening to the wrong teachers and listening to the wrong kind of religious groups of people. In the church where we are, uniformity is not mandatory to have a unity of beliefs. We can have unity among us when we love the Lord and we want to serve God and we're trying to do everything that we try to do for the good of the church and for the good of the Lord. And we can get along with one another even if we're not identically alike in every word and every jot and tittle. The Jews and the Gentiles had some very different upbringing. The Jews were strictly taught in the Old Testament laws, including the Levitical diet. And the biggest thing I know about the Levitical diet, we can go back and read all the prohibitions in there. There's a lot of that stuff I agree with 100%. I don't want to eat, mules and horses and all that kind of stuff. They don't split the hoof, you know. But a hog is not allowed to be eaten for the Jews. And, you know, we eat a lot of pork. My wife and I, she went to the Walmart this morning. I come in at 1:30 or something like that and stay till after church on Wednesday night. And the guys come in early and go back home in the early afternoon. She ran over to Walmart this morning about 11 o'clock and got some mild sausage. And we cooked all that sausage. And she made grits, the kind that take 5 minutes to cook, you know, in a boil. And we made toast, eggs. You know, we had eggs, and it was fresh eggs. She got some real fresh eggs from somebody, brown eggs, you know. And so we made eggs and sausage and grits. And I sprinkled cheese in my grits. I can't eat them without that. And some salt and pepper and all that, you know. It was good. And if God said to me, "You can't eat that," I'd say, "Yes, sir, Lord." But God hasn't said that. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, he said, all things are lawful for us to eat if we give him thanks before we eat them. Now, there are certain things that people eat that are not healthy for them. Too much pork can be bad for your blood pressure. In the old days, when the Jews were coming along, there were no refrigeration purposes like we have today. And so there was a difference in the diet somewhat on that and other reasons that God himself knew and him alone. But the Gentiles had different dietary restrictions than the Jews. The Jews followed the Levitical diet. The Jews followed the laws of Moses. And the early church addressed these issues because it was a problem. Turn to Acts 15 with me. As the Gentile people began to get saved, that was the first thing that came up was, what are we going to do with these people that do things differently than we do? And in Acts 15 and verse 18 through 30, we won't read all that, but let me read you verse 20. "That we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, sexual sins, and from things strangled, and from blood." So these were the prohibitions that they put upon the Gentile people. They ate, you know, the blood of the animals and that sort of thing. And they said, don't do this, and we can live with many of the other things that seem to be a problem for a lot of people. And so don't try to make them a Jew in order for them to be a Christian. You become a Christian by being saved, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, not becoming Jewish first. Now, the questions of days was also dealt with in Romans. The Jews were required to attend, the males all had to attend at least 3 annual feasts of the Jewish people. There are about 7 of them. And they had to come to Jerusalem for those feasts. Now, many of them lived in other places way away from Jerusalem, but they would make that trip to come to Jerusalem for these particular feasts. And Passover and Pentecost were big feasts, and that's why Jerusalem was filled with people at the time of Pentecost, which is the 50th day feast. And they worshiped on the Sabbath, which is Friday evening at sundown until Saturday evening at sundown. Sunday is not the Sabbath. Sunday is the day Jesus arose from the dead, so the Christians began to meet on Sunday, which is the first day of the week. And the Gentiles were never a part of the Sabbath worship. Now, if we do what we do for the Lord, or don't do certain things for the Lord, then that's the test. If it's for the Lord and we're not violating Scripture, then there can be differences among us in what we do and not fall out over it and let it become a matter of division and conflict. We're to be considerate of one another and not be judgmental and critical, because we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So let us not divide the church over any kind of issues. Let us look to Christ as the head of the church and Lord over us. Seek His will, and we can tolerate all kind of minor differences that we may have between us. We're not going to be completely, perfectly identical, even though we will have unity among us because of believing the Bible and believing Christ, believing He's the way of salvation, believe He's coming again. All these major doctrines of the Scripture, if we focus on what we believe alike, we can give up these few things that we might be different on. And that was an early problem they had, and it's still a problem today in some places when people let that happen to become a division and a problem. Thank you all for being here tonight. Thank you for traveling to get here. Hope you have a safe trip home. And I hope you'll be back on Sunday. We have Bible study at 10 a.m. There's how many classes now? Eight? Seven adult classes. And then there's teenagers and the kids' classes and the nursery at 10 o'clock. And then at 11 o'clock, we have the service in here with the choir. And we still have a couple of junior churches ongoing at the same time for the littler ones. So I hope you'll be back on Sunday. And I plan to be speaking on Sunday morning, and Sunday night we'll have a real treat. Joel Bowers, Miss Grace's grandson. How old is he? What did I say, Grace? Your name's Gwen. Your daughter's name is Grace. Grace's son, Gwen's grandson. He's 10, 11? 11 years old. He went to the Master Club competition, won first place among all those churches and the Preacher Boys competition. Amen. So Sunday night, he's going to bring an 8-minute message. And I've informed him he's got to come up here and hit the pulpit at least one time while he's speaking, you know. And we've been teasing him a little bit. And we're going to hear from him Sunday night, and then I'll finish up the time frame. And then we're going to observe the Lord's Supper together. We're getting the things gathered up for that and making preparation. And that's another point toward revival. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, it makes you search your heart between you and the Lord. Make sure your heart and your hands are clean before God, and partake so that He might bless you and we might identify with Him. As we look on our table down here, this do in remembrance of me. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ in His death until He comes again. Let's stand together. Who's playing? Miss Gwen, you going to play? I won't take it away from you this time, okay?